Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. I thank our God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you who are in union with Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by your union with him, especially in speech and in knowledge and in the testimony, because the gospel message of Christ is confirmed in you. And I pray that you are not lacking in the use of any gift given to you by God, and that you are awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father, who will also confirm you to the end and will present you blameless to God the Father in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. Today, I salute all of those who are part of this ministry who are laboring behind the scenes on your behalf. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "We request of you, brethren, believers in Christ, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you." There are a lot of people in this congregation that are doing a lot of things behind the scenes to make this a world-class church. There are a lot of ministries that are evolving in this church where people are stepping up to their spiritual gifts. And it's an absolute pleasure to see, and I salute you today. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher affords me the privilege of leadership, the privilege of telling unbelievers the good news of the gospel message concerning God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to tell them about his saving work on the cross. John chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. But he who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ has been judged already, because he has not believed in the person of the uniquely born Son of God." The ticket to eternal life is simple: believing in the uniquely born Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a five-word conversation with God the Father at a moment in time. "Father, I believe in Christ," and that's the moment of eternal life for you. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they can use those truths to handle the circumstances of their lives. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this, "But when He, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears from the Lord Jesus Christ, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So as believers in Christ, we are coming to know him, and we are not underestimating the importance of Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. He is the one whom we gather here to worship, and he is the one and only sovereign God. He is the one we count on. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34 say this, "Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Because unbelievers eagerly seek all those things." Why? Because they think that is their security. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our God provides for every need. And so Bible study is a time of refreshment, a time to find out what He provides, a time for renewing our thoughts, a time for reinvigorating our souls and nourishing our senses, a time to turn our bodies over to God as living and holy sacrifices. It's a time to see God with the eyes of our souls. It's a time to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God so that we can be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His thoughts throughout this lost and dying world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be molded like a pretzel to this world, but keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind." What is God doing when he is renewing your mind? He's throwing out the garbage so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Bible study encourages you to turn away from the world's viewpoint and to adopt God's viewpoint. And when you do, you are a freak. People look at you as a freak. When you take God's attitude in the world as a positive influence, we'll welcome freaks to the place where God the Holy Spirit prepares you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares your soul for renewing, let's worship our Lord in song. The opening song is "You Are My Treasure" by Matt Hammett.
Treasure, I have found a place where I have no need for my earthly possessions, and my worries just fade away. And when sickness and death are at my door, trying to steal from me, oh, they cannot take what I've already laid down.
You are my treasure.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Accept our most humble appreciation for your greatness. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, we pray to say thanks. We pray to say thanks. We begin with a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is December 15, 2013. And since the Oregon Ducks got their clocks clean yesterday, Deacon Caleb will have nothing else to do but to prepare that lesson, the Lord's Supper message for that day.
It's going to be a very depressing lesson.
Aflac. Well, that's okay, because sometimes looking back at the cross can be a little depressing, but there's light at the end of that tunnel, amen? Mark your calendars also. No face-to-face Bible study December 8th. The deacons will put up lessons on that day, so they'll be available online. And then December 29th, we're all off, and no lessons will be available. Available free of charge from Barah Ministries, several things. Video lessons, audio lessons, pastor's notes, podcasts, all on the website. An Android app, so that you can tune in to all the different features of Barah Ministries. CDs and Bibles on request. Happy birthday, Jennifer Brumbach, November 27th, coming up this week. What is that, Friday? That Friday? What is this? This is the 24th. Yeah, Wednesday. Oh, gotcha. You get to cook on your birthday. Do you cook for Thanksgiving? That's awesome. That just doesn't seem right, does it? Do you have to cook on your birthday? All right, Van, you cook. That's good. We've settled it. Barah Ministry Sunday lessons are streamed live on Pal Talk. And a replay of Barah Ministry's lessons are on Pal Talk. Also, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific. And tuning into these lessons is easy to do. You just go to the paltalk.com site, download the software, choose a nickname, sign into the Barah Ministries room, and listen. So great way for you to tune in to Barah Ministries all week and keep the Word of God in front of you the whole week. Our new home is here, the Hilton Chandler, 2929 West Fry Road in Chandler. Phone is 480-899-7400. Check the website front page for meeting times, meeting details at barahministries.com. If you'd like to make contributions to the ministry via direct payment authorization, you can see Deacon Elliot Clark. And for those of you in the soon-to-be resident congregation who are making your contributions through PayPal, the issue with PayPal has been resolved, so feel free to continue your contributions through PayPal if you'd like to do that. As you know, we dropped the lesson at 7:45 a.m., and this will be the last time I tell you that because I think you know by now. And eventually, the early lesson is going to be replaced by lessons during the week. We're going to start that after the first of the year, and it'll either be by GoToWebinar or live, or audio only, and we'll probably try a variation of all three of those. So we'll let you know what the calendar of events is as soon as we make it, which will be coming up very soon. Let's take the offering now. Let's welcome up. Oh, one more thing. Sorry. We have decided this year to, through the courtesy of Brielle Marino's ministry, to participate in the Adopt a Family program. And we have a family, we've adopted a family that has 8 kids, is that right?
Seven
kids. And they provided us with a list. So it's a single mom and 7 kids. And it's really heart-wrenching to read the letter of request. So I would suggest that you get that letter of request from Brielle Marino. And we will take care of everything that's on that list and more. So if you'd like to participate in that, please see Brielle Marino, and she'll give you the details. But this is a great, you know, one of the things that has really been true about this ministry this year is that we're finally figuring out what Christianity really is. And Christianity is not sitting in here on our butts and being a pivot of mature believers. It's getting off of our butts and getting out in the community and doing things like the veterans program and doing things like this Adopt the Family and seeing that there are real people out there with real needs that are different from us and we can help them easily if we want to. You, Elliot? We're going to go back to the veterans' home, and I'm going to be joining the group in that. So I highly recommend that that is something that you do. Who should they see for details? Susie. So Susie Embry has the details on that, and it'll be really fun to go over there and be with those guys, because during the holidays, people get pretty sad. And it's a good time to go cheer some folks up and give them the good news about Jesus Christ and to share with them the hope that is inherent in a relationship with him. All right, now the offering, and this does not apply to our guests. Well, let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
All right, good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Broad Ministries. We are a Christian church that pursues truth from the Word of God. And even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Broad Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it for free. Even though the materials we provide are free of cost or free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to provide for yourself and for others with your contributions. So last week I talked about how Barah Ministries can be undervalued or underestimated in our lives. I thought a lot more about this issue because I think it can be very disruptive to the unity of a church and especially relationships. When you undervalue something, you lose appreciation for it. And when you don't appreciate something, you start to take it lightly. Well, God the Father didn't take our salvation lightly. His plan called for his son to die for each one of us, each and every soul that will ever exist, even Oregon Duck fans. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't take our relationship lightly. He volunteered to take horrible abuse and the worst possible punishment to give us an eternal life beyond our wildest dreams. And Pastor Rory doesn't take his duty to serve and honor the Lord casually. He also volunteered to put his life on the line for this ministry. He wasn't forced or coerced. He just did what the Bible told him was the right thing to do. Just like Paul, when he would visit and live with the outlying churches, he realized that people's lives are a serious matter. He always conducted himself honorably and would work to earn his keep, taking great pains not to burden anyone. He did this, he says, even though he could have used his status as an apostle to impose upon them. Well, last week, Pastor thanked the deacons for our weekly service. Well, I want to thank him for 10 years of service. Thank you for taking the condition of our souls serious and realizing that a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ deserves a wow factor. Thank you for basically working for free. I know it's a labor of love, but you could easily chase money and fame rather than truth. You could easily require a real salary. So I echo Paul and those with him when I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, which he stole from me in the opening. I think he saw it and changed it. But we request of you, brethren, all believers, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We can't question the commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't think we can question the commitment of our pastor. The offering is a chance for you to show your commitment as well. Give of your time, talent, and treasure to show that your appreciation and that you don't take this lightly. But really, we should give because we know the truth. We know that all giving is voluntary. We're not forced to give here. Our giving is the same way Christ gave up his spiritual life so that we could have one. So as you give, remember Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. What song is that?
Today's study, Romans chapter 1, we pray to say thanks. We pray to say thanks. And so my question for you during this Thanksgiving week is, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday celebrated as a day of giving thanks. Originally, it was a day set aside to give thanks to God for the blessings of the harvest, and for the blessings of the preceding year. So in that way, Thanksgiving Day is actually a prayer. It's a time for us to talk to God, a time set aside where we can thank Him for all that He does for us. And what's funny to me is that whenever we do this, we always seem to feel a little bit inadequate because we lead our lives and then we stop and say, oh, by the way, thanks. And so the people in my life are always trying to suck me in during this time of the year into getting into the holiday spirit. And that is an impossible task because I just don't care on that level about a particular day of celebration because to me, every single day is Christmas. Because Christmas is Christ. Every single day is Thanksgiving because I have a lot to be grateful for. And I have a lot to be grateful for because I remember where I came from. Every time I go back to Chicago, I always make it back down to my neighborhood and I make a little circuit and I pass by all the schools I went to and the place I lived. And I see how lousy it is and I remember. And I know where I came from, and I'm grateful to God every day, not on the fourth Thursday of November, for all the things that He has done for me. And so I don't tie myself into days like Thanksgiving or days like Christmas or holidays or all the things that Hallmark tells me that I ought to value. Because what I value is really, really simple. Christ. I know where my blessings come from. Christ. And every day, the first thought in my mind is Christ. And there's nothing that you can do when you have that thought, Christ, except be grateful. So I'm asking you, what are you grateful for? You see, in my opinion, true gratitude can't be expressed in words. Trying to express true gratitude in words is a complete waste of time. True gratitude can only be expressed in tears. It can only be expressed when you're choked up. Words fail us at the time when we want to express gratitude. For believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, once a year is absolutely not enough to express the gratitude we feel toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the manifest member of the Godhead and the Savior of the world. Once a year is not enough to express the gratitude we feel toward God the Father, the provider of a predetermined plan for all mankind and the provider of a predetermined plan for each of us personally. Once a year is not enough to express the gratitude we feel toward God the Holy Spirit for his teaching ministry that leads us into all the truth. Once a year is not enough to express the gratitude we feel toward God the Son for volunteering to take on the form of true humanity, humiliating himself, and then going to die on a cross, acquiescing to the will of God the Father for us. Once a year is not enough to express our gratitude for our magnificent God, who loves us unconditionally, who died as a substitute for us, and who gives to us every second of every day, including something as simple as the breath that we breathe. Our God the Son went to the cross to heal the breach between the Creator and his creatures. And he healed that breach once and for all so that we could enjoy all the benefits of a so great salvation. True gratitude cannot be expressed in words. It can only be expressed in tears. And that's why in every prayer, there is a portion of it where we give thanks. And so our Thanksgiving Day is every day and every minute that we're having a talk with God and expressing to him how we feel about him and how grateful we are for what he does for us. God is well pleased with our thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for those of you in union with Christ Jesus." In everything give thanks. In everything, at all times, give thanks. For this is the will of God for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. So I ask you, what are you grateful for? In reflection, I have plenty of things to be grateful for. And I'd like to share those with you when you return from your 5-minute break.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all its we
I'm ready. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. What are you grateful for? Is the question that I asked. I have plenty of things to be grateful for. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 and going to verse 12. I'll show you one of the things that I'm grateful for. This is Paul talking to his favorite church, the Philippians. He says, after all the things he says in verses 1 through 7, he says, more than all that, I count all things that I mentioned in verses 1 through 7 upon reflection, and that was him giving his resume. I count all those things upon reflection to be worthless in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, personally. This Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things requiring human effort, like religiosity. That's one of the things we have to give up as Christians, is effort. Not having a righteousness of our own derived from the law. So he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things requiring human effort like religiosity, and I consider all those things mentioned in verses 1 through 7 to be rubbish. Human excrement is the Greek word skubala, human excrement. So that I may gain Christ, Philippians 3:9, and that I may be found in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, not having a self-righteousness of my own derived from adherence to the Mosaic law. And that was Paul's life in the beginning. His righteousness was derived from what he was able to do. And he found it to be what? Human excrement. But that righteousness which is a gift through faith alone in Christ alone, the absolute righteousness, plus R, which comes from God the Father on the basis of faith. What does that mean? It means at the moment of salvation, you're given the absolute righteousness of God. And from that moment on, God looks at you and he sees the same thing he sees when he looks at his Son, Jesus Christ. He sees perfection. And therefore, you can cease striving. Because you don't have to earn righteousness because you've been given it. You don't have to focus on your sins, but instead to focus on Christ, the center. Philippians 3:10, and that I may know him. That I may know him. That's one of the things that I'm grateful for. I know him, the Christ. He is my friend. I know him personally, and I am grateful for that. That I may know him, the person, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. And I know the power of his resurrection because I use the power of his resurrection every time I step into this pulpit. And that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. And I know the fellowship of his sufferings as a leader of a ministry. And I have been conformed to his death. I have died the death that he died at the cross. Not because of a righteousness of my own, but because he allowed me to die the death that he has died every moment of my life. And why am I so happy about knowing Christ? Because I attained to the resurrection from the dead. I know that I will never die. This body that transports my soul and spirit will die, and it will go into the ground, and I gratefully send it on to where it is that it has to go. To the ground, to the crematorium to be burned, ashes to be spread in Mount Waialae in Kauai, the wettest spot in the world. I'm grateful that that body will go there one day. But my soul and my spirit will never die, and they will be placed into a body of glory. And I will be happy on that day that I am allowed by my Savior to glorify him that way. I am grateful that I know Christ. I am grateful that I gave my life to him as a child. And I am glad as a result of that to be his child. Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained maturity yet, not that I've already attained the resurrection from the dead yet, not that I have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. I press on to show him in everything that I do, how much I love him. And I suggest that you follow my example in that matter. I am his adopted child. Ephesians 1:5 says, God the Father predestined us believers in Christ to adoption as sons. So not only am I his adopted child, but you as a believer in Christ are his adopted child. God the Father predestined us believers. They planned that a billion years ago, that we would be adopted as adult sons through Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he brought us, God the Father brought us to himself according to the kind intention of his will. We have a God who is kind. We have a God who is misrepresented in this world as cruel. He is kind. Ephesians 1:6, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. How does he look at us when we make mistakes? In grace. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's going to be all right. Just get up and do it again. And that grace he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of that grace. And I'm proud that I know him and that I am his son. I'm grateful that I have you as my sheep. John 10:4 says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. I'm grateful that God gave you to me as sheep. You are precious to me. Now, it may not seem like that after my I Got Options speech earlier in the year. But I think it's very important for you to see the human side of a pastor. I think it's really important for you to see that this job is very hard and this job is very frustrating. And this job is very demanding. And most of the time, like a good parent does, I screen that from you. I'm not your parent, but parents screen from their children just how hard the job of parenting is. And children don't have a clue all the things that parents do to take the pressure off of them, nor do congregation members really truly understand all of the things that a pastor does to screen them from the evil of this world. Until you've stood in this pulpit, until you've done this job, you can't understand deeply the pressure. And I'm not saying that you can't understand it in that you probably have other things in your life that will help you understand it. If you're a parent, you understand it. If you make the mental connection, wow, pastor must be going through the same things I go through as a parent. Yeah, I am. Only 100 times worse. So if I express my frustrations to you, as I did in the I've Got Options speech, understand that that is nothing more than me expressing my frustrations and letting you feel for a moment what that frustration is like. But I had a man that I respect deeply tell me this week that I should never let you go. And he demonstrated it by asking me to hold his hand. And so we locked hands. And he said, "Don't let me go." And then he pulled away and I let him go. He said, "I said, don't let me go." And so we locked hands again and he pulled and pulled and he was trying to pull away. He said, "Even if I pull away, don't let me go." It was a fantastic illustration that I will be grateful for the rest of my life. But the funny thing is, when I express my frustrations, I never considered letting any of you go. I would never consider walking away from this pulpit, no matter how mad you made me. I would never consider it. I'm just not built that way. And I'm not built that way because you're important to me. And I want you to know how grateful I am to you, and I don't get to express it to you enough. I'm grateful that you moved here. A lot of you moved here. A lot of you come from the other side of town, BFE. This is something that you have to do intentionally. And I would never consider turning my back on you. Now, all you have to do to know whether that's true or not is check out my history. You can ask Elliot. Check out my history with my mom. I had every reason in the world to turn my back on her. I never did. Check out my history with my dad. I had every reason in the world to turn my back on him. I never did. Brothers and sisters had every reason in the world to turn my back on them, and I never did. My older brother, whom I hated, I was one of the four people at his funeral. I hated him. But I refused to step down from my duty to him as a brother. Which demonstrates this, that you can have emotions and yet have integrity too. And so I would never consider turning my back on you, so don't ever even give it a thought. I am grateful that I have you as sheep. And I understand that you were given to me by God. And I understand that I owe you something, and you will always get it. You can count on it. I am grateful for the ability to speak the truth without hesitation or reservation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and following says this, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, in pneumati, in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I, in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Here's what you can count on from me. There will never be a time when I will not speak boldly. I consider it to be the only strength that I have as a pastor, is the ability to stand in front of a group of people and say what needs to be said without regard to personal consequence. And let it be clear in your mind that I will not hold anyone sacred in the matter of what I say to you about what is the truth. And I will not say it to you in couch terms, because the person that I hold in highest esteem is Christ. And there is no human being that is worthy of my respect who speaks against my Lord and Savior, not in one matter, no matter how much good comes out of his mouth. If he speaks against my Lord in one matter, he is my enemy. Please be clear on that. And please be clear that it's not okay when I do it either. Ever. I'll speak boldly as I ought to speak. That is a gift from my God. I am grateful to be an officer in God's army. The wording of the current oath of enlistment and oath for commissioned officers in the United States military follows, modified slightly for me as a pastor. I, Pastor Rory Clark, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Word of God against all enemies, human or angelic, and I will bear a true faith and allegiance to the Word, and that I will obey the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ and the orders of those appointed over me by Him according to the Word of God, so help me God. I, Pastor Rory Clark, having been appointed an officer in God's army, and given the gift of pastor teacher, do solemnly swear and take this obligation, that I take this obligation freely and without any mental reservation and without a purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I have entered, so help me God. I am grateful that God counted me worthy to stand here and to serve you. And I think about my gratitude for that every day. And there is not a week or a day or a moment that it says in my soul, God, I wish I didn't have to do this. Not once. And I am grateful, finally, for those I call friends. I consider a friend to be somebody that you can call on in any circumstance. And no matter where they are and no matter what they're doing, they'll drop what they're doing and come to you. I consider a friend to be somebody that you can talk to and tell who you really are and they accept it. I consider a friend to be someone who edifies you, who builds you up. I consider a friend to be somebody who knows how to get in your face when you need somebody to get in your face, and they're not hesitant at all to do it. I consider a friend to be somebody that you can get a hug from when you need it. Well, I feel really grateful because I think that there are a lot of people in Barah Ministries that I call friends. And I thank you for that. I'm grateful for that. Because, you know, we live in a world of division. And it's really phenomenal to come to this place and to at least have people entertain the notion that they can have a sacred place, a sanctuary, where there is no division. And that in spite of divisions, even when you feel mad at somebody, you can put that stuff aside and give people a hug and give people an exhortation, a kind wink, a pat on the back, and say, keep on going. I'm glad to have a place like this that I can go for that. So there are many things that I'm grateful for, and I'm asking you this. What are you grateful for? And I encourage you to sit down at some time this week in the solitude of your own self and to write down those things which you're grateful for and to look at them and to carry them around with you and to remember so that Thanksgiving is every day and not just the fourth day of November. Closing song, Hallelujah by Cloverton.
has come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the mighty fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to him who is able to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, there are simple words that we can use to praise you, which communicate the depth of how we feel toward you. And one of those simple words is hallelujah. Hallelujah that right this very moment, you're looking down at us and you're considering our problems to be your responsibility. And you're saying to us in thought, tell me what your problems are, mi amor, because I want to solve them all for you. Thank you for that. For that, we are grateful. To know that we're always in your hand, we're always in your so great care, and that there's nothing that you wouldn't do for us. And that you give us this thing called prayer so that we can access that magnificence that you have, that you're waiting to give to us any moment we request it. I pray for those who are hurting today, for those who have experienced a death in the family. I pray for them and for their families, and I pray that you would let them feel in their souls this concern that you have for them. And during this dark time, that you would turn on the light in their souls and show them the end of this tunnel. And I pray for those who are without today. And I pray that you show us those people in our periphery who are without so that we can extend our hands and our wallets to help. And I pray for those who don't feel loved today. I pray that you might illuminate those people in our periphery so that we can hug them and look them deeply into their eyes and tell them that they're cared for. And that you can use us at that moment to send your love through us to them so that they can feel it in their bones. And I thank you for just the ability to be able to ask for that, knowing that you'll give it to us. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.